What's going on, folks? What's going on, everybody? What's happening? It's your boy, Big Q, Team Boy TV. This is Sunday's Best, episode number 6. And we're going to be representing NFL Week 11. That's what we're doing this week. And I think I got a pretty dope show. I'm doing something for the first time ever. Live streaming on Instagram, and I'm live streaming on the Facebook, and we always do Facebook stuff, and I think I'm doing Periscope as well. So, but we're doing it in this weird Instagram style format, and of course, I'm recording the podcast as well, and all that kind of stuff. So, I think it's gonna be kind of cool. So, we're gonna give this a shot and see how this works. This may be cool, it may not be cool. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just trying something, you know what I mean? And that kind of thing. So here's the thing. We will be talking about some cool stuff this week. I think I got some pretty dope stuff lined up for us this week. We're going to be talking about some coaches that's on the hot seat. I know it's only week 11, and we still got about 6 or 7 more weeks to go. But it might be time to start looking at some of these coaches and seeing where we at. And it might be time to pull a trigger on some folks, too. You know what I mean? They got a wild situation going on in New York. We'll talk about it. Also, we've got the COVID-19 situation. Again, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think on the very first episode of Sunday's Best, we addressed it. NFL enacting some super conscious emergency protocols. We're going to talk about those and on the show as well today. It's a little bit of business. I think we addressed a little bit. I think it just happened last week when I was a guest on the Sage of Sports podcast with Glass. And it's a little pesky little situation with Ryan Clark talking about when Lamar Jackson and saying that Kyler Murray was on the Ravens, it'd be a different story. You know, at first I said I wasn't going to address it, but since we didn't have the live show, Team Boy TV Live, last night, and I didn't get a chance to ruffle JB's Ravens feathers, so we'll get into it on today's show. I think it'll be cool, right? I think it'll be a difficult thing to talk about and that kind of thing. Of course, we got this week's picks. We got a game coming up here in a little bit. The Cardinals and the Seahawks divisional matchup coming up right after we get done here. And we will do the show, and then we'll go in the living room and we'll enjoy this Thursday night matchup. I will have the picks for the rest of the weekend on Sunday. We have 12 games on Sunday. 13 if you count the evening game, and then the Monday night game. I have picks for all those games. Let's get into the show, shall we? First thing we're going to talk about today is we're going to get into the situation about this this COVID-19, because it seems like I'm always on here talking about it. And so we'll go ahead and get into it, and we'll see and see where we at with it. So listen, we talked about it last time. We were saying how, everybody know that the situation with the virus right now is a little bit out of control. The country is in a crazy, crazy, crazy situation right now, in the midst of a power transition. Election just happened. COVID-19 is at an all-time ridiculous level. But sports is still trying to happen. You know what I mean? So I pulled a story, and this is what it said. It says that the NFL has notified every team that intensive protocol will be put into place on Saturday and remain for the rest of the season. What had been reserved for teams that had a player, coach, or staffer test positive for COVID-19 will be the operational norm in the NFL moving forward. The upcoming holidays, beginning with Thanksgiving next week, will introduce new risks of exposure that we need to address now. That's what Commissioner Goodell was saying. So he's ready to drop the hammer on this thing, trying to get in front of it. He said, because we have a highly sophisticated program of daily testing, we know when the virus enters our facilities, which underscores the importance of contact tracing and other steps to minimize close contacts within a facility. But all but 4 teams have enacted intensive protocol at least once during the season, and 16 teams were under stricter measures at least twice. Again, this is what's going on. So this is what this new stricter protocol entails. So this is what, from after Thanksgiving, from that going forward, for the rest of the season. This is what's going on. This is what we need to do under intensive protocol. Face masks must be worn at all time at team facilities, all times, including on the practice field. So that's weird. So you dudes, you know, you see them on Hard Knocks, you be standing around, you know, everybody. If you out there in that football field, you have to have a mask on, right? Everybody has to have a mask on, even on the practice field. All meetings held virtually, unless outdoors, with a pre-approval for indoors. So, you know, we saw, you know, some people was you know, trying to take advantage of trying to have an in-person meeting by having their, you know, they put some tents up or whatever, little fake gazebos. And they, like, I think the Sean McVay was doing that with the Rams. We saw, I was going to say preseason. It was, you know, during a Hard Knocks at the beginning of the season. We saw that, you know. So now all players and coaches must have a negative test from a previous day to enter the facility. So, you know, of course, they're testing every day. But, of course, if your test from yesterday wasn't positive, you can't get in, right? So, which, I mean, obviously, you would know. So, well, I guess you wouldn't know because you wouldn't know until the next day that you came to work. And then you'd be like, oh, my test yesterday was bad. So, yeah, they would send you back home. That's how it's working, right? Locker room use is discouraged on non-game day. So if it ain't a game day, which I kind of don't understand, so I don't know when they practice. Do they not use the locker room when they practice? I don't know. It says locker room usage is discouraged on non-game day. So on non-game days, you know, including practice days, they don't want you in the locker room. I don't know exactly how that's it's going to work out, but that's what it is, right? Meals are served on a grab-and-go basis. No sitting down, no chilling. Come through the line, grab your food. You get keep it moving. No sitting, no socializing, none of that stuff. We're not doing none of that. So that's kind of what it's going to be like going forward, man. So, you know, and we saw clubs like the Tennessee Titans. We had an incident in, like I said, in New England, there were some stuff going on with, you know, in San Francisco. So, you know, it's been things happening in all these places. And so they got to enforce stricter rules. I mean, if we want to see the end of the season, if we want to see a Super Bowl, you know, just because this COVID virus is tough, man. It says the intensive protocol was introduced on October 1st to help teams mitigate the spread of COVID-19. And according to the latest testing results announced by the NFL and NFLPA on Tuesday, a total of 95 players and 175 team personnel members had tested positive through November 14th since monitoring began in August. So that's 95 players, which, you know, if you think about how many players it is total in the NFL, I mean, 95 is a, you know, that's like, I guess that's like 10%, I want to say, maybe a little bit less. And then 175 team personnel members. There's a lot of folk, man, running around with the COVID-19. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what's going on with that right there, man. And it's crazy. But, you know, if we want to get to the end of this thing, if we want to put a cap on it, that's what we headed, right? Okay, so, you know, this next thing is about these coaches, man. And I'm just going to fly through this one real quick. And, you know, says NFL coach hot seat rankings, Adam Gase tops the list of coaches in trouble heading into the final 7 weeks of the season. I mean, we've seen this has been a sucky season for everybody. It's just been rough. And I mean, I know it's easy to kind of blame, you know, the virus and COVID-19 or whatever. No preseason, you know, weird practices, having these weird protocols. It's been weird. And I think the season kind of suffering from it is because there's too many teams that are bad. Right now, I think the Carolina Panthers are on like a 4 or 5 game losing streak. A couple teams started at the gate winless. It was, you know, Atlanta, the New York Jets, you know, the Vikings, you know, the Giants, the Texans. It was a lot, you know, going on. And you know, and I don't think that many teams would have been that bad, you know, at that same time if we weren't going through this different, you know, type of era that we're going through, right? I mean, you know, they say practice makes perfect, and, you know, and without them reps, man, you know, and no preseason, you know, so like you didn't really get the chance to evaluate talent. I'm not condoning that some of these coaches, you know, are just bad. Like the two that we lost already, who did we lose? We lost the dude down in Atlanta and his general manager. I don't know why I can't remember. His name escapes me right now, and I know his name because I hate him with a passion because he was the Falcons coach, and then the dude Bill O'Brien from the Houston Texans. We lost them. We lost those guys already, and then now you know some of these guys that made it this far. Surprisingly, I mean I don't know how they made it this far, but they did, and some coaches are still hanging on. So you know. It says that the 2020 NFL season is officially past the midway point, and it's been quite a ride given complications stemming from the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, along with a rash of severe injuries to top players around the league. Not every club was brimming with hope and expectation as the season got underway in September. And while some have seen optimism torpedoed by a variety of factors, teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Jets are, to quote former NFL head coach Dennis Green, exactly who we thought they were. We're not letting them off the hook, though. With Dan Quinn and Bill O'Brien having already been fired by the Atlanta Falcons and Houston Texans, respectively, weeks ago, the question of who follows them to the unemployment line remains at center stage as the calendar readies to soon turn over to December. There are at least three head coaches still clinging and sitting on the hot seat, and two of them that are about to spontaneously combust, given how things are going with the Jets and Jags. Don't be surprised if fire alarms start blaring soon. Okay, so let's get it started. Let's see what they got for us on this list here, because I think it's going to be pretty cool, right? Of course, number one on the list, Adam Gase with the Jets. I mean, the dude they haven't won a single game yet. I don't think. No, I think as of this podcast, as of this recording, I don't think they've won a game yet. I think this week will make them 0-10, or is it 0-10? If they lose this week, I think they'll be 0-10. And I think me and the fellas on the Team Boy TV Live, we predicted that they would go 0-10 before they won a game, right? So what on earth are the Jets waiting for? In 2019, all it took was a defeat of the also unimpressive 2019 New York Giants to secure Gase's job, with the owner, Christopher Johnson, starting unequivocally there would be no change of head coach last season. Said, no, we're not going to do it. Despite early struggles, Johnson was clear that Gase will return for 2020, and he has. And that's not the weird part, considering the team would finish with a 6-2 record in their last eight games with Sam Darnold returned from about with a mononucleosis. You know, I remember that. That was hilarious, right? But you know, I don't know. I don't know. This is some people talk about the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. Some people talk about, you know, them just kind of, you know, waiting on somebody, other coaches to become available and that kind of thing. I don't buy none of it. You know, I really think that the Jets are just a bad team. And, you know, and it's been a bad team for a while. It's been having some problems for a minute. But the thing is, I just think they're bad. And, and you know, and then compound that with the, you know, with the how we started this season, you know, like I said, I really think that COVID-19 did play a part in a lot of these teams being kind of, you know, having a rough start and things like that. But then, you know, then you look at teams like Kansas City and, you know, Las Vegas, you know, they even moved and moved into a new facility. They still seem to be doing pretty good and that kind of thing. So I don't know. It's hard to explain what's going on with that. But, you know, the Jets are in bad shape right now. And, you know, and I just think that I don't think we would see Adam Gase return for 2021, you know, if that's going to be a 2021. I'm just saying. But I don't think we're going to see I think the Jets will have to re-up at coach somewhere down the line. Doug Marrone with the Jags, man. You know, and I said this a couple different times, and we'll revisit again later when we do the picks, because an interesting game came up on the schedule that I wanted to talk about. But just a few short, you know, years, a year and a half ago, the Jacksonville Jaguars were in contention to, you know, they were in contention to do a lot of cool things. And, you know, it just ain't been working out. You know, they lost a bunch of key players. A lot of crazy stuff was happening that shouldn't have been happening. And, you know, it's just weird. I don't, you know, this thing situation with the quarterback. I mean, I think, you know, we was talking about Eli Manning going down there at one point in time, and that didn't kind of come into fruition. But, you know, you go through, you know, Nick Foles to Gardner Minshew. You know, it's weird. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. This one, I can't blame the COVID-19 on because there's some stuff going on in the front office and personnel. They just, you know, they letting too many players go. They had a defense that was causing havoc all across the NFL just a short while ago, man, playing in the AFC Championship game and all that cool stuff, man. You know, going up against juggernauts like, you know, the Patriots and the Steelers and just doing all kind of stuff, man. It was crazy. Just to see how far they done fell in that short amount of time is crazy to me. See, what's the first word that comes to mind when thinking about the Jags and their fan base deserves better than what it's been getting in recent history? The organization has been in an outright tailspin since appearing in the AFC Championship game following a promising and exciting 10-6 season in 2017. There was a ton of promise for the future at that time, but it took an instant for things to implode in a spectacular fashion. The decision to extend quarterback Blake Bortles was not met well by some players, and the club has since been trapped in toxicity that has led to the shedding of several All-Pro and Pro Bowl talents, leaving the Jags to shill themselves as they enter 2020. So, you know, we talk about these players like Calais Campbell and Jalen Ramsey, among a few. You know what I mean? Like, these are players that just, you know, they just decided to like, I don't know. I mean, how do you let go of Calais Campbell and Jalen? And then you do this. I think you did this in the same year. I think Calais Campbell and Jalen Ramsey left the team at the same year, I think. I think in the same offseason, if I'm not mistaken. That's just bad business, if you ask me. I just think that's a tough break. And then, you know, dealing with this whole Blake Bortles situation, I don't know who would. It's hard for me to put a finger on. I don't know. You know, Matt Patricia with the Lions. They got Matt Patricia at number three. Matt Patricia is a weird one for me. For me personally, I feel like Matt Patricia is safe. I think he's working for a ownership who kind of see his pedigree and where he came from, his coaching tree, his background, all that. And I think they're willing to grant him a reprieve for a little bit just because he's a Belichick disciple. You know what I mean? And there's so much promise and potential there. So, you know, you don't want to be the ones who fired Matt Patricia and then the next year he went to, you know, your division rivals and won a Super Bowl. You don't want to be those guys, right? You don't want to be them. But, you know, so I think his leash is a little longer than a lot of people want to give him credit. You know, don't want to say for him. But, you know, I don't think he would get fired at the end of the season. I mean, the Lions, they've been in a weird place with the draft. They draft terribly for one thing. They don't really seem to draft very well at all. It's a weird thing. They don't draft well at all. So they can't really get ahead. You know, luckily their division has been going through some stuff and they kind of falling apart as well. The division's on an up and down, you know, for a couple of the last four or five seasons, the Green Bay Packers didn't have an identity. They're doing pretty good right now. The Vikings were shining pretty good in that the division with a whole lot of young talent, but then something weird is happening there. They don't know. They brought in Kirk Cousins, and I think Kirk Cousins kind of rubbed some bad juju on the team because the team has been on a downhill slide since, you know, they crowned him their leader and you know, and starting quarterback, you know what I mean? And the Chicago Bears, you know, they brought in Khalil Mack a couple years ago, and things were looking good for them. And then, you know, they can't really figure out what to do with the quarterback, drafting Mitch Trubisky. And I don't know. The decision to draft Mitch Trubisky is still up in the air. Sometimes you think it was a good decision, and most times you think it was a bad one. But you know, just because of all that madness going on, I think Matt Patricia is in a good spot. I don't think we need to worry too much about Mr. Patricia. I think he's gonna be fine. Now, if in two more seasons, you know, he turned in a performance like he's been turning in last season and this season. You know, we do it for two more years, and then we could talk about, you know, giving him his papers. But I think, you know, Patricia is okay. He's in a safe place. The Detroit Lions are just a bad team, and they draft horribly. They just do. You know, they don't draft well at all. You know what I mean? And then, okay, now this one, you know, and I know certain people. I know one certain Denver Broncos fan who will probably, you know, disagree with this. But, you know, they got Vic Fangio on here at number four. You know, I think he's the second. This is the second season. It's the second or first season? I don't know. Either way, He got dealt the wrong deal by with this Drew Lock situation. That was bad from the get go, and the fact that this dude, you know, it's rough. It's bad business. They've been searching for a quarterback ever since Peyton Manning. It's been, I don't know, four or five years now, and they still, you know, they went through a litany of quarterbacks trying to get themselves back together. At least at one point in time, they had a stellar defense. And they would lean, and actually they leaned on that defense to get them through the Super Bowl, which they did because Peyton Manning really didn't contribute much to that game, and the fact that you had, you know, Cam Newton, you know, blinded by the bright lights or whatever, and that Denver defense just had their way with him, and you know it was kind of, but ever since then, like ever since Peyton Manning walked out of that facility after winning that Super Bowl, the Denver Broncos just ain't been the same. Been a shell of their former selves. They've been. I think Vic Fangio is now their third coach since Peyton Manning was there. Is he the third coach? Because there was the dude with the leather. There was, and then there was. Yeah, he's the third coach. He's the third coach since Peyton Manning left. He's the third coach that they've had. So again, the Super Bowl 50 wasn't that long ago. I think it's like 4 years ago. I want to say. 2015, 2016, yeah, about 4 years ago, and they on their third coach, and now they got him on the chopping block, like they want to let him go, and it's just tough, you know. I don't know what John Elway and them doing. John Elway is a quarterback. I don't understand how come he don't know how to find a good quality quarterback, but they've been struggling. They've been having a hard time with this for the last 4 years, and they on their third coach, right? The article says that it's been up and down ride with more downs than ups so far. The Broncos enjoyed an upswing on the back of the 2019 after a severely poor start to the season. And it coincided with the return of a then rookie second round pick, Drew Lock, from injured reserve, logging a 4-1 record in his first five games as the team's starting quarterback. That was then, and this is now, however, and Lock has regressed under Fangio in year two, leading to the latter admitting publicly heading into week 11 that he's very concerned about the arc of his young quarterback, having seen him throw four interceptions and a blowout loss to the Las Vegas Raiders. And with that loss, the Broncos fell to 3-6 on the season and 10-15 since Fangio took the reins in 2019, which is hardly what general manager John Elway had in mind when making yet another change of head coach, their second in three seasons following the decision of Gary Kubiak to step down. Dude, that's right, because Gary, I was like, what happened to the coach who won the Super Bowl? It was Gary. Yeah, he was sick. That's right. Gary Kubiak to step down due to health issues. Fangio hasn't much improved into the team, if at all, over the era since Vance Joseph, who was fired after two seasons and 11-21 overall record. Man, I'm telling you, you know, bad quarterbacks get coaches fired. You know, terrible defense get coaches fired. And they got all of that happening in Denver right now. They got a bad quarterback, young gunslinger who think he's better than what he really is, and then they have their defense is a shell of them former selves. They can't generate any kind of offense, and the defense can't stop nobody. So, you know, Denver is treading mud right now. They just sitting in the same spot. You know, their legs are moving, but they ain't going nowhere. And I don't know what needs to happen to get them back on track. You know, I can say the same thing, Chris. They're kind of a mirror image of my team. My Carolina Panthers are kind of in the same situation. You know, the offense is, you know, I can get into it, but it ain't really the time. But I'm just saying they kind of mirror each other. You know, team, and it's those are the same two teams that met in the Super Bowl and 2016 in the Super Bowl 50. So it's weird. You know, neither team has been the same since. You know, the last coach on my list is Matt Nagy with the Bears, right? Him coming in, everybody thought he was going to light a fire under that defense and get it popping and get it cracking early, which he did. And then the addition of Khalil Mack just kind of sparked the whole thing. It was just weird, though. Mitchell Trubisky just never, in my opinion, and just my opinion, never was a good fit for that team. He didn't have that Chicago Bear quarterback grit that I was kind of, you know, hoping to see from whoever they brought in there. And in my opinion, I just never liked Mitchell Trubisky in that offense. I just didn't think he fit very well in that offense. You know, he probably need to be out there on the West Coast somewhere, like in Arizona or you know, in Seattle. He seemed like more of a top flight type of guy like that versus, you know, a smash mouth, you know, 2 yards in the cloud of dust type guy that we see that they need in Chicago. That's what they need. And they just don't have that right now. And, you know, I just don't think in that division you can bring too many finesse guys in there. You already got Aaron Rodgers in there and Kirk Cousins in there, you know, and they're going to be about as finesse as you can possibly be, you know, and don't forget about Stafford's there too. I don't know. And so you look at those quarterbacks and I just don't see Mitchell being able to match up with those guys. I don't know. It don't really look all that cool to me. Now, I don't see this change happening in 2020, but it's bears mentioning when looking at all the variables involved, Nagy's a talented head coach that much isn't really disputed, and he's got some explaining to do when you consider the Bears have fallen to a 5-1 start to the season to 5-5 after losing 4 straight games. They'll now enter a bye week, but on the other side of it, a waste of division leading Green Bay Packers, and there's now questions on if Nick Foles will be healthy enough to take the field. The cleaner, you know, he might not be able to do it no more, you know, in week 12, or if it'll be Mitchell Trubisky. Either way, they're potentially facing a 5-game losing streak that raises some eyebrows on whether Nagy is securing his seat in Chicago. And it's fair, at least, to pose the question to this point. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. And then, you know, just to finish it off, and I don't like this, but it's in the article. I got to go over it. They got Anthony Lynn with the Chargers in there, you know, and man, I'm just saying, like, this dude took this job, and I knew it was bad business because, you know, the Chargers going through this quarterback situation. First, you know, you got Phillip Rivers there, and he's like in year 300 or whatever, and, you know, he throwing interceptions all over the place. You know, he getting sacked unmercifully a million times per game, you know, and you can tell that he's just barely holding himself together. They finally put the package together and got somebody to take the bad deal and got somebody to take the bait. And, you know, and it ended up being Indy. They sold Indy a bill of goods and got rid of Phillip Rivers. And, you know, okay, I'm thinking, okay, cool. So who we got on the market? We have Cam Newton out there. We have Nick Foles on the market out there. You know, there's a couple of young guys out there. You know, but then we just sit back and we chill and we don't get none of that. And we bring in... We drafted a guy, you know, in the first round of Justin Herbert. That was great. But then, you know, you go with a journeyman backup who, you know, poor dude, he can't catch a break, you know, in Cleveland. Everywhere you go, he can't never catch a break, you know, Tyrod Taylor. And just bad business, man. You know, and it's just, and you knew that, you know, the Chargers were doomed from the gate. You know what I'm saying? So I really thought Cam would end up, you know, in L.A. versus, you know, going up to New England. I think it would have served him a little bit better, too. But, you know, hey, you got things working out. You know, I think the Patriots are doing a little bit better than the Chargers right now, you know. So, I don't know. I don't know what it is, right? But there's reason for Lynn to not be on the list. But just enough to be included. And that's the name with his asterisk. The reality is that the Chargers have been ravaged by injury, and it's not easy to overcome the loss of Derwin James, Mike Pouncey, and Austin Eckler. And like, but that's the key driver behind the inability to get the job done this year in Los Angeles. But as he's often been said, good head coaches figure out ways to win games despite it all. He's not simply that the Chargers are losing. It's how they're losing. The bottom line is that Lynn hasn't been able to close out games. And as the team sits at 2-7, on the year, they've now lost 2 games in overtime and are averaging a point differential of only -4.5 when they do lose. So, yes, as in maddening fashion, Lynn makes the Chargers hyper-competitive, but not for the entire game. You know, it's a sad situation. But, you know, again, you know, Anthony Lynn, you know, he's not really on the list, but they kind of, you know, threw his name out there because it's, you know, such and such, you know. And that kind of thing. So I figured, you know, that would be dope, you know, but I don't think he's in any trouble. Just like I said, it's you know, injuries will bail a coach out, you know, so injuries will bail you out. Bad draft picks will bail you out. This quarterback situation is rough, you know what I mean? But, you know, it is what it is, you know. So, you know, as we move on, right, we'll go ahead and do that. And let's do this.
Shotgun. Murray, out of the pocket. 7 seconds. 6 seconds. Murray heaves it downfield. It is. Oh, it's caught. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous. It's Murray magic.
You know, ever since Colin Murray came into the league, this is the year before last, I was one of them dudes who didn't really give him a whole lot of credit from the get-go. I didn't give him a whole lot of credit from the jump. But, you know, I will say this. I think over the course of this season, at least, he kind of grew on me a little bit. He's showing a little scrappiness, showing a little toughness, you know, that willingness to kind of do whatever it takes to win games and stuff. I'm impressed with it. I think it's dope, right? You know, I like the little dude. But, you know, there has been, you know, a little bit of controversy surrounding young Kyler Murray. And, and it kind of all started with some stuff, some remarks made by one, what's his name? Ryan Clark, right? Let's pay attention to this.
If Kyler Murray right now was the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, we'd have much more confidence in them to win the Super Bowl. Period. We would. It wouldn't be a discussion. We wouldn't be sitting here talking like, you know what? Yeah, they can because the quarterback's really good, because the team's really good, and everybody loves the color purple. It looks good on uniforms. He wouldn't have said all that. He would have been like, if Kyler Murray's the quarterback of this team, I see them in the AFC Championship going toe-to-toe, head-to-head with the Kansas City Chiefs because he does add that extra dimension. And this is not knocking Lamar Jackson at all. Sometimes you got to choose between Kobe and Shaq or Penny and Shaq. Sometimes you got to choose on whether you're going to sign Weezy or Lil Turk. You got to make these decisions. And in making this decision, if you were starting your team, Kyler Murray would be your guy. It's not that I wouldn't take Lamar. It's just that with what I've seen from them, even with Lamar winning an MVP, if I had to put one at quarterback and say this guy takes X team to the championship, I'd always pick Kyler Murray first.
So, I was happy to be a guest on Glass's Sage's Sports Podcast last week, and I think that's around the time that the story first broke, and we kind of discussed it in like passing, like anytime it was a thing that he kind of just threw out as we was transitioning between one subject to the next, and you know we didn't put a whole lot of thought into whatever, but you know this is what I'm gonna say. First, before I say that though, I gotta show people this because I think you know everybody know that my brother JB, the Ravens Shogun, is a huge Ravens fan or whatever, you know. And so right after this whole story broke or whatever, you know, JB had this to say on Twitter. You know, he was like, "All this Kyler Murray better than Lamar talk is complete garbage. I don't dislike the guy, but he's not winning MVP, nor will he ever go 14-2." I can't imagine Lamar having Hopkins and Larry. Y'all dumb. # Ravens flock. Now, that's from JB. Now, I may not agree with everything JB said in that tweet. I don't agree with everything he said in the tweet. Because this is what I said when I was on Glass's podcast. I said, you know, granted, Lamar having his own little struggles in his own little way, and they're not the same type of situation. Like, the thing is, what Ryan Clark is saying, so he brings an added dimension. The dimension that he's talking about, which he didn't say in his statement, is the same kind of dimension that Lamar brings to the table. So they both are running, scrambling quarterbacks. The difference here, though, and this is what me and Glass was talking about stature and size. And, you know, in a case like this, size does matter. You know, I just think if you take a little, you know, if you take a little quart-sized guy, a little mini-me, a little bite-sized dude like Kyler Murray, and you bring him up north to the AFC North, and you put him up against, you know, people like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense or the Cleveland Browns defense, you know, or you know, sometimes you have to run up against the Tennessee Titans or, you know, I just don't think he's durable enough to handle that. Now, out west, where everybody running around free and, you know, everything is a foot race and speed is the name of the game and finesse and all of that, he thrives in that. You know what I mean? I don't think Lamar would fare as well out west you know, just like I don't think Murray would fare all that well if you brought him up north. I think they're both in the right place. You know, I think when the Harbaugh and the brass up in Baltimore were drafting or thinking about looking at Lamar Jackson, they were thinking about durability. They were thinking about, you know, look, we play, it gets cold up here. You know, we can't be flipping the ball all around, all like that. And granted, Lamar got a big old arm. His accuracy may not be as great as Kyler Murray, but he got a big arm. He can throw the ball downfield pretty good. And then he got the threat of being able to run and being able to withstand, you know, hits and punishment. It can get tough yards when he needs to. It opens up a different element of the playbook, which you cannot get with a Kyler Murray. Now, can you do design runs and sweeps and jet sweeps and flea flickers and all that cool stuff with Kyler Murray? Yes, you can. But are you gonna? But can Kyler Murray get the fourth and one, or the third and two tough yards? Like, no, he can't. So it's a back and forth, and you know, and I don't agree with Ryan. I don't think. And if you look at the numbers were pretty much identical. It's just that they play two different styles, and they play in two separate different parts of the country. And if you swap them, I don't think either one would have the same kind of success that they have. Where they at? You know what I mean? And I think they both have their own trials and tribulations to overcome. You know, Lamar got to get over this big game situation that he got going on. And you know, and Kyler, well, he lucky coming, getting over his confidence stuff. I mean, we saw, you know, him toss at Hail Mary. You know, look, once you got a game winner under your belt, you know what I mean? You done made it to the next level. You know what I mean? You gain a certain, you know, aura about yourself in the locker room when you pull off a stunt like that. You know, Lamar done stuff like that before, so he's already got that with his people, you know, and that kind of thing. So I think they're both on a great trajectory. I just think it's nonsense to talk about swapping them. I just don't think, I don't think either one would have the same success if you flip-flopped them and you made them, you know, go to each other's other team. I don't think it would work out too well. I think it's an interesting conversation, though, you know, I think to Ryan Clark's, you know, to his credit, I mean, it was cool to think about it, but, you know, I just don't think it'll work out too well. You know, to say that they didn't want a Super Bowl by now with Kyler Murray, I think that's ludicrous. I definitely don't agree with that. You know, I think Lamar Jackson is the quarterback that Baltimore needs to get that. It's just a matter of, you know, getting over them big games and, you know, and when you get into them big games in the postseason and stuff like that, Lamar gonna have to, whatever monkey is on his back, he gonna have to figure that one out. You know what I mean? Well, now I will say this, you know, to about what Ryan Clark said. I think if the Cardinals, and we said this before on Team Boy TV Live, if the Cardinals can plug in maybe two or three more pieces to their team, you know, we got the aging Larry Fitzgerald, which, you know, ain't saying age slowing him down or nothing like that. He's still doing his thing, but you need somebody to match up, you know, the speed and quickness and the ability to stretch the field like a DeAndre Hopkins can. And, you know, with DeAndre Hopkins being the threat that he is, of course he's going to draw all the attention, and it's going to be hard to kind of get to him. They need to get him some help, right? They got to get some situation going on in the backfield with a strong running game. And maybe add another piece, a strong cornerback or linebacker to their defense. I mean, they got Patrick Peterson and Buda Baker, and they got a strong secondary. They just need somebody, another good linebacker in that core. And I'm telling you, they'll be unstoppable, right? I do believe, I say all that to say this, I do believe that if the Cardinals can pull that off, if they can draft well over the next one or two seasons, I could probably see the Cardinals getting to the Super Bowl before the Ravens. I could probably see that, but it really depends on whether, because the Ravens got what they need right now. You know, it's just that one situation where the quarterback loses the confidence under the bright lights. And then you have, you know, the Cardinals who still kind of build, even though they're having tremendous success right now, I think they're still building and they still need a few things. They're close, but not quite. You know what I mean? But they're almost there. But yeah, so that's what I would say. I would say no. I don't agree with Ryan Clark with the fact that if you bring, you know, Kyler Murray up north, they don't want a Super Bowl. I think that's garbage. Also, I don't think if you took Lamar out west, he would have any more success than what he's having right now. I think he'll actually do a lot worse. You know, but I do, and I will say I do believe that, you know, if things keep going in the trajectory that they're going on right now, that we'll see the Cardinals in the Super Bowl before the Ravens get there again. That's what I think. Anyway, let's get to our first let's get to our commercial break. Go to an ad break. Come back. We're gonna get these picks done, and then we're gonna go and watch the game, right? So we're gonna go ahead and pick the games real quick after these words from, you know, our good people, our good sponsors, right? So here we go. Let's do it.
What up, peeps? This your boy Glass, aka The Sage of Sports, and I have my own podcast, The Sage of Sports Podcast, where we talk everything and anything about the current topics in the sports world. I have the hot takes, talk about the latest news, players, trades, and transactions, scores, and my weekly NFL picks. So while you're running on them errands, doing them chores, checking stuff off your honey-do list, go ahead, pop in your earbuds, click on the Sage Sports Podcast, take a listen, and be entertained.
Sunday's Best is brought to you in part by Sweetwater Music and Pro Audio. Since 1979, Sweetwater has been home for all music lovers, DJs, broadcasts, podcasters, and live streamers. The collection includes an impressive selection of guitars, microphones, DJ equipment, keyboards, drums and percussion, pro mixers, channel strips, accessories, and more from popular brands. You can save on names like Yamaha, Behringer, Rode M-Audio, Shure, Sennheiser, and Slate Digital. On top of all the amazing products offered at Sweetwater, you can go online and read the news and research from artists and experts in the industry. Sweetwater prides themselves on providing top-notch customer service. So if you ever have a question, you can count on our music experts at Sweetwater to resolve your issue. When you shop, just remember to use one of our Sweetwater coupons that I've included in the show notes. Remember, Sweetwater is Pro Audio.
Well, all right then. So y'all know what that means. We hit a Pete Rock come on. And that means it's time to get these picks cracking, right? Let's get this going while we got the music going. And we can get ready to watch the game, right? So let's start with that game, right? So first game we got up is the Arizona Cardinals, who we just talked about. First in the NFC West, going out to face the division rival, the Seahawks 6-3. Same record, third in the NFC West. I like Cardinals on the hot streak. Seattle was kind of struggling a little bit. You know, I know they won by the skin of their teeth last week with that Hail Mary and whatnot. I don't know if that's going to be the case this week. If they're going to have to grind this one out, I still like the Cardinals in this particular matchup right here. So I'm still going with Arizona. Even though they're going to Central League, hostile territory. If Kyler Murray can get this one done, I'm ready to crown them. Here we go. So then we go. Let's see. Here we go. Philadelphia going to Cleveland. Face off against the Browns. Philadelphia is behind the tailspin right now. They got all type of issues going on right now. Cleveland is going to come up. They're about a couple games. Baker Mayfield's got to get his grind together. The Cleveland defense is still one to be reckoned with. I still like my chances. I will gamble on the Cleveland defense over the Philadelphia offense. I think Cleveland, and they're playing at home too. I'm going with the Browns on this one. All right. We got an NFC South showdown. The Atlanta Falcons, 3-6, they've been won their last couple games against the New Orleans Saints, who, man, you know, they got into some rough and tumble stuff. They lost their quarterback. Drew Brees is injured. They've been going back and forth between Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. I don't know who will get the start this week, but if it's Jameis Winston, I don't like the New Orleans Saints' chances. Even though they played against the Falcons, I think the Falcons go into the Superdome and take advantage of a battered and bruised New Orleans Saints and a interception-prone Jameis Winston. All right, I like the Falcons in this one. It's crazy for me to say that, but that's what I'm doing right this. Also, we got the Cincinnati Bengals traveling up to the nation's capital face-off against the 2-7 Washington football team. Man, this is a tough one to pick. Both teams ain't won but two games. Both of them looking pretty bad. I don't know what's going on in Cincinnati. They ain't been able to get themselves together. You know, it's been rough. They got all this new stuff going on in Washington. New coach, new quarterback, new this, they knew that. They don't know what they're doing up there. Man, it's a tough one. I'm going to go with the home team. I say Washington football team can win this one. I'm going to go with Washington football team on this one because they're at home. But both teams suck, and they're both terrible. All right, so then we have my game. The Detroit Lions come here to Charlotte, Bank of America Stadium. Carolina has lost four in a row, five in a row? Four in a row. Four in a row. they lost a bunch of games in a row. But this right gives them a little bit of reprieve because of the Detroit Lions. And they ain't really won. Well, they won four. They're 4-5. They've been doing pretty good, right? This a chance for the Falcons went toe-to-toe with the Super Bowl champions, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They went toe-to-toe with a bunch of high-powered teams. And just fell short. You know, Teddy got to get it right. Come on, we can't be throwing interceptions and turning the ball over and crunch
time and stuff like that.
We got to get it together. That Carolina defense, boy, they got roasted last week. They got to get it together. I like the home team. I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers and this one because of the Detroit Lions. I like the Carolina Panthers in this one right here. All right, we move on. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who are still undefeated this week in the season, 9-0. Taking that 9-0 to Jacksonville, who we just talked about firing their coach, Doug Marrone, just a little while ago on the show. But it's crazy. Is this the upset of the week? It's time for the Pittsburgh Steelers to lose. And I just don't know. Jacksonville ain't got enough to knock them off. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers continue their undefeated streak, at least through this week, right? I think they're safe against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They could surprise us. I doubt it, seriously. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers to remain undefeated. We also have the Tennessee Titans going up to Baltimore, which I think may be the game of the week. Tennessee is struggling, trying to maintain their playoff hopes, and they're in a good spot right now, you know, considering that their division is kind of going through some stuff right now. But as always, that situation with Lamar Jackson in a big game situation. Here we go. Here's another one. They playing at home. Tennessee coming in there with their running back. And we know what the Tennessee Titans can do if you let them. And I don't know. You can't turn the ball over against this team. You can't do it, Lamar Jackson. And you know what? I implore Lamar Jackson to show up in this game. And I'm going to say this. I don't think he will. I think that the Baltimore Ravens take a big fat L in this game at home against the Tennessee Titans as we see Lamar Jackson shrink under the spotlight one more time, right? Okay, New England Patriots going out west to face off against the Houston Texans. You know, again, the team is going through some stuff. You know, you got the leader of the team talking about he don't want to be part of it no more. He done checked out. Houston is in a bad spot right now. I kind of feel bad for Deshaun Watson. He lost all his homies, and now you got J.J. Watt running around talking all his junk or whatever. It's bad business. If I was Deshaun, I'd be wanting to get up out of there. I would be following J.J. Watt's lead. I'd be trying to get up out of there because they're gonna let Cam and them come in there and beat them. I think New England going into Houston I like a lot of road teams this week. It's crazy. But, yeah, I think New England goes in there and takes advantage of this team because they in a bad spot. They are kind of feeling bad for themselves right now, and they're licking their wounds, and they're in a bad spot. Feel bad for them, but it is what it is. The Houston Texans lose another game. They go 2-8 at the hands of Cam Newton and the New England Patriots. Okay, we got the next game. The Miami Tua Tagovailoa going up against the Denver Broncos and Drew Locke, Mr. Interception himself. You know, and I'm telling you, if we ain't seen Tua show out yet, which I think the dude is getting better and better every week. He's just kind of surprising me how good he is. I was going to say great, but we're not going to say great. How good he is going into his third game. Is this his third game? This thing is going into his third start. You know, and I think he go thoroughly embarrassed the Denver Broncos. I think the Miami Dolphins, this is going to be the blowout. I think the Dolphins put up a 40 burger in this game against the Denver Broncos at Mile High. I like Miami in this one. Okay, then we got the New York Pitiful Jets, 0-9. And this is the one. This is the one where they earn their crown of 0-10, like we predicted. Going up against the lowly, you know, L.A. Chargers, who ain't won but two games in their own right. But they'll add another victory to their win total in this one because the Jets will remain winless through week 11. You know, well, I don't know when they're gonna get a win. I think they're gonna get two. Like I said, I think I said this on last week's episode of Sunday's Best. I said that they're gonna flat out just beat somebody. They're just gonna beat somebody, and then somebody gonna get got. Somebody gonna get caught slipping, right? And that might be happening toward the end of the season where, you know, the wins and losses don't really matter that much. But they're gonna flat out beat somebody. I don't know who it's gonna be. It's gonna be somebody, and then somebody gonna get got. But not in week 11. Not in week 11. We good here. The Chargers are safe. They're not gonna be the ones to take that L to the winless team. You know what I mean? We got the Green Bay Packers going to Indy. You know, Indy, it's just a shame Indy's doing so well right now. Listen, with the unfortunate demise of the Houston Texans right now, you know, they just in a flat out dog fight with the Tennessee Titans. And man, both of these teams could end up in the wild card round to face off against each other for a third time this season, and it should be good. Because the Indianapolis Colts are actually doing a lot better than I thought they would with the old journeyman gunslinger Phillip Rivers at the controls. I wouldn't have trusted them to get this far, you know. But they are 6-3 right now, which is pretty good. It's pretty good in this COVID season. They're actually doing better than I thought they were going to do. But they're going up against the Green Bay. But Green Bay traveling, and this is one of them kind of games where Green Bay like to trip up a little bit. But I don't really see nothing in the Indianapolis defense that could really, really put a damper on the plans that Aaron Rodgers and the boys got. As long as they can keep running the ball effectively like they've been doing, I think Green Bay is going to be safe. They're going to be okay, and they can continue, you know, reigning their division. I think they tied for first in the division right now, and I don't know who could it be tied for. Oh, who could it be tied with in their division? It's definitely not Detroit. Definitely not Minnesota. So Chicago? Okay, surprisingly Chicago. Okay, there you go. All right, so then you got the... Oh, my God. Have the Dallas Cowboys won a game since... Okay, I know they won the game that Dak got hurt in. But have they won a game since then? I don't think they have. I think they've lost every game since. I think they have. And I think they lose this one, too. The Minnesota Vikings are kind of on a little bit of upswing. It might be a little too late for them. But they're actually doing really well right now. I think they won three of their last four games, I want to say. They're doing pretty good. So, you know, kudos to the Vikings. I'm going to pick them in this game. Dallas Cowboys may, like we said this a couple weeks ago, the Dallas Cowboys may not get another win. They may not get another win this season, but we'll see. We'll see how that works out. Okay, here we go. Sunday night. This is the main event, and it's a good win. I think we saw this early in the season. The Las Vegas Raiders went into Arrowhead. They went into the champ's house and smacked him around a little bit. You know, gave him an L and bounce, right? I don't know. Can they do it again? So now the Chiefs are going into the Death Star to try to get some get-backs. I don't know. I think the Raiders got the number. I think the Raiders will. I think the Raiders will deliver. The Raiders would deliver that sweep. Now, you know, ain't nobody pulled the brooms out yet. And I think the Raiders going to be the first ones to do it. I think the Raiders going to be the first ones to do it against the champs, too. Pretty good stuff. I'm rubbing my hands. That's going to be a good one. Sunday night, I will be live on the Twitter machine so we can get into that one, right? And then we have this Monday night game to close out. Listen, you know, the tales of Tom Brady's demise might have been a little bit exaggerated, a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Like after that horrible game that he had a couple weeks ago, he came back the next week and just kind of pretty much said, yeah, what, you know? So Tom Brady still, he's still trying to prove a point. You know, and this one's at home against the Rams. I don't know. They're a pretty decent squad right now, but they're flying a little bit under the radar right now. But technically, they got a pretty decent record. This is the defense, one of them defenses that I kind of want to see Tom Brady go against. I want to see if he can survive against this defense. This is going to be a good one to watch. I think the Rams defense, if they show up in this game, they can humble Tom Brady, right? Again, we already saw him get stripped down to his undies a couple weeks ago, and we're going to see what's going to happen this week. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb on this one, you know, because I'm just going to do it. Because I'm just thinking, I'm just in my mind, I'm visualizing Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and them just terrorizing Tom Brady. And we saw what happens when he gets flustered and he gets knocked around a little bit. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my stamp on it. This is the one, y'all. Trust the algorithm. I like the LA Rams going into Tampa and putting the good on his butt. That's what I like. This one. Yeah, that's the one I like. And so that's the one we're going to go with. And so y'all can clown me on Twitter about that one later. But that's the pick I'm making. That's what I'm going with, and I think I like it. You know what I mean? I want to thank all y'all for coming out tonight in this very special primetime edition of Sunday's Best, presented by Team Boy TV. Again, I'm your boy, Big Q. This has been amazing. This has been cool. Nice little experiment. I don't know when next time I'm going to do this, but I had a little bit of difficulty in the beginning. It's hard doing this. This is this is tough. You know what I'm saying? Being able to do this by myself and produce and host a show live on my own with nobody else is on me in this room. You know, I'm doing it by myself. But it's an experiment, and we'll see what happens. Because technically, I was supposed to have live call-in and so on and so forth, but we didn't get a chance to do all that. Maybe next week. Don't quote me on it. Just pay attention to what I'm doing on social media, and you will know if we get the call-in or not. And speaking of which, you guys follow me on all my social medias. That's at Team Boy TV on Twitter, at Team Boy TV on the old Instagram. Check me out on Team Boy TV Turbo on Facebook and Urban Arena Media on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Subscribe to the YouTube channel, Team Boy TV Turbo. We over there doing it. You know what I'm saying? So, and then, you know, again, be on the lookout for my homie Glasses Podcast, the Sage of Sports Podcast, coming out sometime this week, today, or yesterday. I don't know when it came out. Then, of course, there is Vernon B's State of the Union New York Giants Podcast, which will come out tomorrow, I think it is, right? So a lot of cool stuff that we're doing over here. Again, I want to thank y'all for coming out and going along on this weird little journey with me. Like I said, it was tough and it had some potholes, but we'll get better at it as we go along. Okay, well, thank y'all, man. It's been real. Y'all take it easy. I'm out of here. Peace.